Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio in Ottawa. The show is Good News in the Morning, and it's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And listen, if you want to find out more about us, just Google Good News Christian Ministries, and you can find out all sorts of things about us. My name is George Sinclair. I'm pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa, and it is my great privilege and honor this morning to spend time with you to open the Bible and talk about Jesus. And listen, just before we do that, this show completely and utterly depends upon your prayer support. And if God has blessed you in some way that you can give a bit of financial support, we're completely and utterly dependent upon you folks. And so please pray for us, and please consider supporting us financially. Today we're going to look at three very, very, very short verses, and we're going to talk about this basic type of question. Many people in our culture think that being with God in silence is the highest form of being present with God. Like, in a sense, silence in God's presence is the highest form of being with God. And at the same time, there's many people in our culture who think that it's absurd to think that any one particular religion is true, that every religion has prophets who claim to speak for God, and they all contradict each other, so how could they be true? Other people might say to you, who you are Christian, oh, you try to figure out what God, you know, you pray and know God's will. We just have to figure it out. What makes you so special that you claim that God is telling you what to do? We're going to look at all of these questions in three verses of 1 Thessalonians. So listen, while you get your Bibles, we're going to listen to the Rend Collective sing God is Near.
Your home inside.
place is close. Hallelujah, God is near. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God is near. Hallelujah, Christ is close. Hallelujah, God is near. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God is near.
Hello again. You're still listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries. And if you want to learn more about us, Google that. And my name's George Sinclair, pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa. Our scripture, we're talking all about this whole idea that God might speak to us and what that sort of sounds like and what it means. And the text that we're going to use is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to, well, actually, I'm just going to read 19, 20, and 21. And it's very, very short. In fact, I'm going to keep saying it. If nothing else, you might memorize this text before the end of the show. And it says this, and I'm just going to add the word holy to make it clear. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. It's a very, very, three very short verses. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Now, here's the very first thing that we have to, you know, to say about this, that it is deeply human to want to hear the voice of God, and it is deeply human to want to silence the voice of God. That'd be my first sort of point. We're talking about whether God speaks and what that means and the different views that we have within the culture and in the church. When it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good. One of the things that this Bible text is teaching is that it is deeply human to want to hear the voice of God, and it is deeply human to want to silence the voice of God. Now, some of you might be saying, George, how on earth do you, like, why on earth are you saying that? Well, you know, you just think about it for a second. There's an astrology column, I think, in the daily newspaper. That's sort of claiming to speak. I mean, they don't technically say it comes from God, but it's like listening to God about knowing the future. Only God could know the future. The federal government hires futurists. maybe the provincial and the regional government does as well. I don't know. I don't know, but they futurists are hired. If you go into the bookstore, there's a huge section on things to do with channeling and seances. And it's a very, very common thing in our culture. If you went to a party and said that you were interested in learning about channeling, people would all be probably fairly interested in you, unless they're Christopher Hitchens or Richard Dawkins type followers who would just want to say that it's all nonsense. And even for Hitchens and Dawkins and stuff like that, it's very, very common in our culture to talk about things being progressive. This is a good thing because it's progressive. Well, what does that mean? It implies that the person speaking knows what the good future is going to be and where the good future is going to be and we should be moving towards that. But how on earth do they know what the good future is? That's the sort of thing that only God knows. And so even if they're very, very secular people, as soon as we use the language of something being very progressive, we're really talking as if somehow God or a God, where we figured out the future, which only a God could know, because human beings can't possibly know the future. And that's why I mean that it's deeply human. So before we listen, if we want to be able to hear the Bible in its real context, the Bible is making a claim that it's deeply human to want to hear the voice of God, and it is deeply human to want to silence the voice of God. What's the text again? Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. But now, okay, so, okay, George, you did say that, but okay, this, you know, Holy Spirit and quenching and prophecies, that's all about words. Don't you think that like a wordless God is the highest God, and being wordless in the presence of God, just experiencing God's presence, that's a higher type of spirituality, higher than what the Bible says? Well, here's when you hear that I'd say this, a God that cannot speak cannot be the living God. The true and living God speaks and listens and acts. A God, and here I'm spelling God with a small g, a God that cannot speak cannot be the true and living God. The true and living God speaks and listens and acts. So for instance, in this fall, I'll be married 33 years to my wife, Louise. And I love my wife. I'm very grateful for the 33 years, and hopefully God will bless us with more. And sometimes we can be on a car drive together, silent and very, very comfortable, just enjoying each other's presence. Or we can be in the house together and just be silent with each other. And it's not a bad silence. It's a lovely silence. But that times of silence is born by, you know, both by acts of love and by lots of communication. If I was to come home to my wife and say, you know, Louise, I've decided that those silent times are the best times in our marriage. So I think for the next 10 years, we won't talk to each other. She, you know, that's a recipe for disaster, right? Because it's of the nature of love. It's of the nature of persons to communicate. And you know, in a science fiction novel, or a movie, if you came across some entity and it couldn't talk, and I don't even just mean it can't, you know, mental telepathy is just a type of talking, only there's, you know, you don't use your mouth, that just goes from mind to mind, but it's still words. And if the being can't talk, can't communicate, why would you think it thinks, and why would you think it was higher than a human being that can think and can talk? Like, just reason tells us that talking is part of what it means to be a person and part of what is higher. It is. So that's why that when the Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, it's telling us that a God that cannot speak cannot be the true and living God. The true and living God speaks and listens and acts. Now, some of you might say, George, okay, I'm a little bit confused now. Okay, you mentioned Dawkins and Hitchens, and I've read some of their stuff. And you know, in a world where there's, I had a person tell me, in a world where there's 10,000 different religions, all of them claiming to speak for the God, God and know God and everything like that, like how on earth could you possibly think that your God is the true one? Like, why are you being narrow, or like? I'm a bit confused. Well, I have to say several things about that. Listen to the text again. I stumble over my words. I get excited. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. So here's what the text is saying. Okay, the text is not denying that there are many sources of people who things that claim to be of God. It's saying this, since humans speak as God, with a small g, and the devil, because the Bible believes in the devil speaks as God, with a small g, and the true and living God truly speaks, we need to test every claim of divine speech. I'll say it again. Since humans speak as God, and the devil speaks as God, and the true and living God truly speaks, we need to test every claim of divine speech. You see, I would say that it shows something about if every human being or almost all human beings want to hear the voice of God, believe they can hear the voice of God, that it's somehow deeply human to want to hear the voice of God, although I think the Bible also says it's deeply human to want to silence the voice of God. That's part of the unique thing about the Bible, which I might or might not talk about over the next couple of minutes. I don't want to lose you. But the Bible here isn't claiming that we should just be gullible and believe every claim. It's not telling us that we should be cynical and believe no claim. It's telling us that in a sea of words, in a sea of claims, some words are from the true and living God, and so we should test every claim of divine speech. And so some of you might say, okay, George, well, let's go back to that. You know, I think I looked it up on the internet. I think it's like 4,000 or something different religions. Hinduism has 100,000 gods, so there's lots of different gods, lots of different religions. How is it like, George, are you being narrow here? You keep quoting the Bible. Like, why should we trust the Bible? Why Jesus? Here's what I'd say. Remember, the text is, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. In a world with millions claiming to speak for God, that's with a small g, the death and resurrection of Jesus Messiah is vindication that the person, work, and words of Jesus are true and trustworthy. That's a very, very unique Christian claim, unique from all of the other different religions. And it's this, that in a world with millions claiming to speak for God, that's God with a small g, the death and resurrection of Jesus Messiah is vindication that the person, work, and words of Jesus are true and trustworthy. About 40, 50 years ago, there's a famous story of a brilliant lawyer in England who wanted to prove once and for all that it's not at all possible that Jesus would have risen from the dead, that he died and rose from the dead. And more recently, in about 20 years ago, I think it was, there was a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist in Chicago who his wife became a Christian. He was an atheist. He was very, very bothered by this. He wasn't aware of this earlier, writer, but he decided he would use his – he had a law degree from, I think it's Harvard or something like that. He would use his legal background, his reporting skills to delve into this issue to prove once and for all to his wife and her friends that Jesus didn't die and didn't rise from the dead. And both of these two people, the first one's name is Frank Morrison. He ended up writing a book called Who Moved the Stone to show that, in fact, Jesus really did die and rise from the dead. And Lee Strobel ended up becoming a Christian. He's the second fellow, the one from Chicago. And he wrote a very, very good book, still in print, called The Case for Christ. Here's the thing, that all of the historical records, and there are historical records of Jesus, and Jesus claimed that he had come from God. Jesus claimed that he would die upon a cross. He claimed that he would die upon the cross and that he would rise from the dead. And he claimed that this would be a vindication of who he is. And that's what's completely and utterly unique in this wonderful thing of this, the larger story that makes sense of a good creation, of a fall, of God promising that he alone would deal with that which separates us from God, and that Jesus claimed to be that promise that God had made to the human race, that he himself would set things right and create a means by which we could be reconciled to God, that we could be delivered from being separate from God and could become gods. And in this overarching story, in the context of a remarkable life, Jesus's repeated claim that he was going to die upon the cross, that he would rise from the dead, I mean, that's a completely and utterly amazing thing. And there's very, very good historical evidence, reasonable stuff that can be investigated, that says that Jesus really did, on the third day, that the grave was empty, and that the best possible explanation for the empty tomb was the real, true, bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And Christians believe that vindicates Jesus in terms of who he is and what he claims to be, God's Son and our Savior. And that's why I say that, when in the Bible saying, do not quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good. What the Bible is saying is that in a world with millions claiming to speak for God, the death and resurrection of Jesus, Messiah, is vindication that the person, work, and words of Jesus are true and trustworthy. But some of you might be saying, George, how does this help us with this particular text? Well, here's what the Bible is saying, is that the Bible is the true and final word from the true and living God, and the Bible's account of the person and work of Jesus is the key to knowing God and his word written. The Bible is the true and final word from the true and living God, and the Bible's account of the person and work of Jesus is the key to knowing God and his word written. You see, we get this from Jesus. Jesus is the one who believes that the Bible is God's word written. And Jesus is the one who tells us that everything in the Old Testament points to him and that he fulfills everything and makes everything clear. Go back and read Luke chapter 24, for instance. And so what that means when we hear, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, it means that we have to immerse ourselves in Jesus, and we have to immerse ourselves in the Scriptures. And as we immerse ourselves in the Scriptures, it's God speaking to us, but God speaks to us as well beyond the words of the Bible. But it's any other type of word that we might think, that more direct leading that comes from the Holy Spirit, is always to be interpreted from the context of knowing and understanding the Bible. You see, so the Bible, some people say, like, you can't trust the Bible, or like the Bible was written like 2,000 years ago, a different culture, it's like frozen in time, it's distant and absent. But you know, here's what the Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good. But what this text is telling us is that even though the Bible is the true and final word from the true and living God, it's still telling us that God speaks. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is always more willing to speak to me than I am willing to listen to him. I use the word me, that if you're writing these notes down, then when you write it down, you're writing it for me. God is always willing, more willing to speak to me than I am willing to listen to him. I could tell you lots of horror stories of churches that have kooky Christians have gone way off the deep end with claiming to have all these types of private revelations. And I could tell you, we could all share stories of that. But just because there's kooky use doesn't mean there's not true use. And my guess is, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, is that in heaven, God will probably spend a little bit of time rebuking us about the far more frequent number of times that God had, in fact, tried to give us a more direct leading, and we quenched that and refused to listen to it. You know, I think that's probably what God's going to end up saying to us. So how does God speak? As we sort of wrap this all up, how does God speak? Remember, Kate, what's the text? You're going to have it memorized. Good thing to memorize the Bible, because you're memorizing God's word to you, right? Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. God can speak directly to us, and he can speak through other people, but each word must always be weighed by the prayerful, communal reading of God's word written. God can speak directly to us, and he can speak through other people, but each word must always be weighed by the prayerful, communal reading of God's word written. You see, Jesus is not just a word that comes from God, it's a power. His death upon the cross is a power that comes from God to save us, to make us God's own, that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, when we repent and turn to Jesus and ask him to come into our lives as our Savior and ask to get into what he's done to reconcile us to God, it's a power from God, first to save us and then as well to speak to us. And it's Jesus' plan that we give our lives to Jesus, but you know, we enter the Jesus way one by one, but we walk the Jesus way with Jesus and others. That's what the biblical way, the Jesus way, is, that we enter it one by one, but we walk the Jesus way with Jesus and others. He desires us to come to faith in him and then walk with him with other believers in a local church where the Bible is taught, Christ is glorified, the gospel is proclaimed. And so you should seek one out if you're not in a church like that already. So let's just sort of close with a prayer. As I encourage you to give your lives to Jesus, to read the Bible, to listen to God, and here's a prayer. I'll put it in the notes. It'll go on the web page if you want to write it as a prayer for yourself. And here's a closing prayer. Dear God, please help me to listen to you every day as I humbly read your word written. Please help me to pray every day for your guidance and your wisdom. Please help me to listen for your answer. Please help me to dwell on your word written in the company of your people as I prayerfully consider your personal word to me. As I hear you, please help me to trust you and put your word into action. Please help me to do all things for your glory. I ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son and my Savior. Amen. Listen, folks, it's been a privilege to spend some time with you opening the Bible, talking about Jesus. My name's George Sinclair, pastor of Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. I'm one of the speaking team for Good News Christian Ministries. Listen, if this show or any of our shows has blessed you or touched you in any way, why don't you send us an email? We'd love to hear from you. And just Google Good News Christian Ministries, and that will tell you how you can communicate to us. Please pray for me, and please pray for all the speakers. Please do that. And we're going to go our way, or whatever you're going to do next. So if you listen on Sunday morning, hopefully you're going to go to church. And we're going to leave listening to George Beverly Shea sing, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that had gone astray. His loving arms around me drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.